The Health Fix podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. On today's episode, I have Maz de la Serna. We are going to be talking all about toxic relationships, and she's got a book coming out all about that. So we're going to dive into that. But she's, of course, an author, an entrepreneur, inspirational speaker, and host of the YouTube channel Phoenix Rising Collective, which she just started, and it's really cool. She has an amazing blog where she gets real on common topics we don't always talk about, like toxic relationships. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today. And her passion is to help people turn their hurt into happy, their pain into purpose, and their lives will be fulfilled with abundance. Maz, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me today, Janine.
So now, I saw on your website that you've got this great quote that says, no matter what kind of hand we are dealt, we always have the power to choose our next move. So powerful.
Yeah, thank you. I think it is the outline of life, right? Things will always go up and down. Things will always happen to throw us off. It is just part of the journey, right? Nothing can be perfect. But if we can have control of ourselves and our thoughts and the perception we see a situation, like we can literally do anything. Like we don't need to let any kind of pain or setback define us. We can instead use that to strengthen us and make us stronger and give us wisdom and empower us, depending on how you want to look at it, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. And especially since we're looking at toxic relationships, I think a lot of people will get into a relationship and go, I don't know how to get out of this. Like, what do I do? How do I get out of here? And you have some experience with these sorts of things, as you've posted on YouTube. And I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about how you became a speaker on toxic relationships and what experience led you to talk about it and write a book for that matter.
Yeah. So my book's recently published called I Deserve Better. And yeah, it's about the real and raw truth of relationships, friendships, and all connections in between. And yes, inspired by my series of toxic relationships. I think the book does help you like leave that as well, but mainly, again, what we were talking about before, is about having power within and taking your power back. The moment you let an outside circumstance, place, people, thing, take control of your emotions, is when you give your power away. So the purpose of my book is to pull you out of the victim mentality, because that's what I've learned from my journey of my series of toxic relationships. I was always being the victim and placing blame on the other person. And not to say that there is always the perpetrator and then there's the enabler. It takes two to tango. And it took me a long time to realize that. And it got to a point where after a while I was like, hang on, I can't keep repeating this cycle. Like this, why am I attracting these people? Why am I attracting these relationships? And there had to come a point where, is it me? What am I doing to create this reality?
Right.
And I think it's a tough pill to swallow, especially like I'm not saying that you're not the victim in that way. Like there are abuse. I've been in very abusive relationships in the past. But the only way to take your power back is to stop claiming victim and take power of yourself, your thoughts, your actions, and the role that you play. So that way you can empower yourself to get out of that situation, right? We're always placing blame on someone else. How are we meant to better ourselves?
Yeah.
So yeah, my book basically talks about that it takes you on a journey. It's funny because the feedback I've got so far is exactly the purpose of what I wanted the book to do. But it's like a lot of people are like, wow, it's so eye-opening. And I'll admit it called me out a few times because it will make you uncomfortable. And some people might not like me, but I take you on a journey where you are now rediscovering yourself and analyzing yourself and learning more about yourself and where your actions, your behaviors, your thought patterns, where this stem from and what is causing the current situation you are in and how to take your power back to then be able to have those healthy relationships, not only with others, but most importantly, yourself. Because if you don't have a healthy relationship yourself, how do you expect to have a healthy relationship with anyone else?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's kind of the foundation here is really starting to find out, you know, who you are and create this less toxic relationship first and foremost with yourself. It seems that so many people have those kind of relationships going on just within themselves.
Yeah. And then that you attract what you are, right?
It's true.
So it's a tough pill to swallow, especially when you are feeling like you are the victim. And I'm not in any form taking that away. But in order to make changes in your life and to empower yourselves is for you to remember the power is with you, and you do have the power to choose your next move. And you do have the power to know what you allow in, what you accept, what you don't. And people then become a reflection of that. If you notice when you start making changes with yourself, the people around you start changing how they are to you as well.
Mm-hmm. And it can be a little scary because now when you change, you might start to see some people backing away or pushing up against your changes. What do you suggest when those types of things start to happen? What do you recommend? What was your game plan for that? How did you do that in your own world?
Well, definitely. But when you're starting on that journey of self-development and empowering yourself and getting to know yourself, you've also got to realize like you want to be vibrating on a higher level where toxic people don't even know how to approach you, don't want to be around you, and you don't want that. And if you can just have faith that those things and relationships are getting cut off, or friendships or whatever, people are steering clear of you that are negative energy, like you're being looked after. If you're looking after yourself, the universe will help look after you. And if you can have faith that that's what's happening, it's reassuring. You know, you're like, okay, well, you're saving me from a potentially bad disaster, you know? So yeah. And then when you are doing that, and the more you see that, you will start seeing you attract higher vibrating people, more energetic, positive people that can add value to your life. And you'll start noticing that. It's like when people leave, you make room for better people or better circumstances, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the battle is for people to actually let go a little bit.
And trust.
Courage. Yes, this trust and this faith component. So what would you say to someone right now that's like, okay, I know I have a toxic relationship, but what's the first thing I need to do? What do I start with?
Again, like it's all going back to basics, right? And sometimes it's not so obvious. It took me like many toxic relationships to finally get to that point. You know, I started like young and I was in one relationship after the next, and they were all very similar, just a different face, a different name, you know? And it always went that same cycle. And it wasn't until I spent 5 years single after the last really bad relationship, should I say. And I spent 5 years single. And then I finally got myself into another relationship where I started seeing the red flags. And I started seeing, hang on, I know this cycle. But at that point, I had spent the 5 years prior learning how to have self-love, learning how what I should and shouldn't accept, learning what I deserve, that I was like, I am not about to repeat this cycle. And there's no way you're going to take me back a decade after all of this, like I'm not undoing all of my lessons. So it was kind of like that. But when for anyone that isn't it, like I said, instead of looking at the other person and blaming them, because the thing is what everyone says and what anyone does is always a reflection of them, always. Good or bad, it's always a reflection of them. And when we start to understand that, you start to not take things so personally. Like the majority of the times, unless you're on that path to self-development and being more consciously aware of self, and then you'd start being consciously aware of others, we're all adults is walking around as wounded children.
True.
You know, and some of us are a bit more wounded than the other, but regardless, we all are traumatized and wounded in somewhat way. And we are all walking around like reflecting that onto each other. So, and a lot of the times it's not intentional, you know, like no one's like, it's not an intentional thing. When you start to understand that, you can then start self-analyzing yourself, being like, well, where is my behavior stemming from? What role do I play? And like with all of my clients that I work with, we go back. You need to go back from where, find the root problem. It could have been something a parent said to you as a child. That's not even a big deal. That later you realize, oh my God, this has been blocking me and affecting me my whole life without even, and it wasn't even like traumatic, so to say. Do you know what I mean? Or if you have had trauma, you've got to really start working on that and just going back to the basics, finding out the root issues, understanding why you're reacting or not reacting, mm-hmm. and what's caused that. You know, why are you being passive if it is passive? Or if you are reacting, what's causing you to react? Is it triggering you and reminding you of something that you've experienced in your childhood or a past relationship? Or like, are you replaying cycles like unconsciously? So always go back to the basics, find out what that root problem is. So that way you can then go back and rework from that, right?
Yeah. So it sounds like a lot of maybe journaling. And kind of being very aware of, one, maybe the cycles that you get yourself into. So be like, all right, write down your last three crappy relationships and write down, you know, what happened. But then also, like, what was it in you that's triggering you? So I like that what you said about going back to what maybe that blockage is. Do you feel that some people have, maybe if they haven't had trauma per se, do you think that some people might have multiple things that are kind of looping in their head?
Oh, definitely. I don't even think it's like one thing. Like, you can have trauma, but then something that was little that was said to you could be affecting you even more. Do you know what I mean? And there could be people that are like, their parents are still happily married. They grew up in that, so to say, family. They've not experienced anything traumatic, but yet there's so many subconscious blocks and limiting beliefs that they're not aware of. And it could have been something as little as one of your parents said, you're not good enough to play that sport. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's not traumatic, but really it can be traumatic when it causes that block and limiting belief within ourselves. And so maybe when someone else in a relationship now tells you, you can't do that, you're now triggered without knowing, hang on, this is the time that my parents said this when I was like five, you know?
Right. That's something really important to mention, is that things way back, like even as far back as like child, like maybe even before you could totally comprehend what the meaning of what they said, and then it, like, your subconscious takes it and runs with it. It seems like in some cases.
Definitely.
So tell me this. Now, you have a YouTube video that I loved. It was the seven not so obvious signs of toxic relationships. And I think that a lot of people, when we say relationships, we tend to think about partnership relationships, but I think friendships totally, and relationships with even your family can totally qualify here. So would you mind telling us a little bit about some those seven not so obvious signs? Because I think a lot of people are like, is it really a toxic relationship? I think so many people are on that fence of, is it really me? Do I really need to work on me? And really easy to push it off on being like, that's someone else's problem, not me. It can't
definitely
be.
I have been through that, and hence why that video, because there are the obvious signs, which, you know, like if someone's punching you in the face, yes, that's abusive. Mm-hmm. That's very obvious. But then there are also, like, not to, like, it's nothing that I'm proud of. No one wants to be like, hey, I'm proud. I'm like a pro at toxic relationships. But if I look back, I became a pro at attracting them. And it wasn't until I started looking back, looking at the patterns, what were the similarities, what were the signs, what did they all have in common? And then understanding, not without placing blame, but understanding from their perception, okay, the trauma has caused them to be like this. And now that makes sense. The codependency was here, and that's, this sign has now highlighted that fact. Now I understand, right? I made that video a little while back, but I do remember one of the signs being when they tell you they love you from the get-go.
Yeah.
Before they even know you. And yes, that can be all romantic. Everyone wants to hear those words and, you know, be doted on. And like at the time when you first meet someone, it's always that honeymoon, falling in love kind of phase, right? So you don't think, oh my God, that's a sign. But if someone is like that in love with you before they even know anything about you, that potentially, not always, but 9 out of 10 times, potentially can be a very big red flag. Like, how do you know that you love me when you don't know anything about me?
And of course, when it's happened to you multiple times over and over again. So going back to patterns and being like,
correct.
Why does this always happen?
And then again, my role that I played was when I had that, because I did, like, as a child, like at 14, and I was like getting taken. Like, there was times I slept on park benches. There was times I had friends, families take me in. I couch surfed. Like, I had massive abandonment issues. And so, like, as an adult, without knowing that, it was like when I was getting that love that I so craved as a child, it pulled me in. Like, this is a love that I didn't get as a child. Oh, you love me. Oh, my God, you think I'm amazing. Like, I'm not even thinking about, hang on, you don't actually know anything about me to warrant this love that you have for me right from the beginning.
I think that's something like we get stuck in this, and right now, you know, I don't know how it is over in Australia, but right now we have all of this like craziness with the Hallmark videos and the Hallmark movies for Christmas. And yeah. It's like these two people meet and they fall in love within a week. And then the story goes. And so all of us kind of have that a little bit programmed. And I definitely as a kiddo had that, like, oh yeah, I'm going to have this fairy tale thing happen. And then, you know, this guy tells me he loves me, you know, within a week. And I'd be like, ooh, this is awesome. But I never would have thought about it.
Right.
Until I had multiple patterns of like, oh, right.
Yeah. And that goes back to say, yeah, I know Disney kind of ruined it. So I was the same with like Cinderella and all of those movies, you know, as a child. But again, it's coming to that awareness that we're all wounded children walking around as adults. And if you can learn to understand that, relationship takes work. It takes partnership. It takes understanding yourself first and then being able to understand someone else and learning to work together, both realizing that, like, to have a healthy relationship, you both realize, okay, you have this trauma, I have this trauma, this is what triggers you, this is what triggers you. How do we work together to, like, do this journey holding hands rather than two traumatized people taking it out on each other, even if it is subconsciously, right? And that's where the toxic relationship starts. I know one of the other signs that I had was when they don't tell you much about their past, when you ask about their past, because that is a massive red flag as that person has not done any healing. Just because you don't want to talk about it or avoiding it, that makes the problem worse. Right.
I could see that. Because yeah, if they're not going anything, so you know nothing about them, but it goes our way in terms of being a female. We tell them everything.
Yeah. And then when we're telling them everything, that can also turn around, especially if it is someone that is narcissistic or like actually really toxic like that and potentially dangerous. That's them now using things and like tallying up a list of what they can now use against you, and they're finding your vulnerabilities and knowing how to be potentially able to manipulate you in future, right? But I think if someone is not willing to open up about their past and you're the only one fully doing it, that's a massive red flag. And all that screams is this person has not done their healing work, because anyone that is truly working on their healing, like, because healing is an ongoing process. We're going to be doing it for the rest of our lives on this planet. You know what I mean? But it highlights the fact that this person won't look at it, which is now swept under the rug, which is now building negative emotions inside them that they may not be even aware of. And so it's bound to happen that that's going to erupt, right? And potentially, like, you need to be able to hit it on the head. Someone that really has done their healing, I believe, can speak about it, especially to someone very intimate, not to everyone. But if you're meant to be in a relationship, you should be able to open up about it. And they're also at a point where they understand this happened, and I understand I act like this because of that, but I'm working on that. I'm aware that that's what has triggered that. And because of that, I've placed all these defense mechanisms up because of that. But being more aware, and that's when you know you can potentially have that healthy relationship. But if someone's just like, no, I don't want to talk about it, massive red flag.
Yes. That reminds me of one of the other things you mentioned too, in terms of someone who says, my ex was crazy.
Oh, yes.
That one was the one that I came out like, oh, where were you? Like, I don't know, 15 years ago.
Yes, that is definitely one that was very prominent. And like, I suppose a lot of people will say they have a crazy ex. I'm sure you've heard it a million times. Like,
I might have said it.
Yeah, you know, but again, taking it back to what I said, it takes two to tango. It takes two to tango. So if your ex was that crazy, what caused your ex to become crazy? Because you were also in that equation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, massive red flag. And also the point of, and that goes like both ways as well, because I didn't even, I'm like, oh God, like you had a crazy ex. I'm so sorry to hear that. And then I would think, oh, you dodged a bullet, and be empathetic towards them, because I've also, like I said, had toxic cycles and relationships. But again, that's people not coming into that awareness of being conscious and really doing that work to realize, well, I played a role too.
Right.
What caused them to also be crazy? Do you know what I mean? What was this issue? So massive red flag in terms of like the ex being crazy, because I've also been in situations in the past where I actually started to feel crazy because of like a partner. Like again, that was in the YouTube video that I mentioned, how I had one ex tell me how his ex went into a mental hospital and she actually got admitted. And so I believed like she was crazy because she actually had to get put in an institution. And it wasn't until like years into our relationship, I actually started to feel that crazy. Like I remember having that moment being like, now I know why she went crazy, because I'm starting to go crazy too. Like, and yeah, it's a massive red flag. Like, if it's that crazy, why? I think someone that's been like more conscious and emotionally mature can at least turn around. We all make mistakes. And if that relationship was crazy, be like, yeah, my ex was crazy, but I understand it was this trauma and I understand that I played a role. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not my ex is crazy, that's it. Cause yeah. And then I don't want to talk about anything more.
Right.
Red flag. Hang on. What's going on? Yeah.
No, these are good things. I mean, it's like, you got to own, right? You got to own your part in how the crazy unfolded. But it's also something that I think a lot of people right now might be like, oh, wow, I can see some patterns. Maybe they've worked through things, certain things, but they can go, oh, is there something energetically between myself and my partner where we're like being toxic towards each other, and how can we start to fix this? So what do you suggest for folks who are wanting to be more conscious and really taking the step to slow down and really investigate themselves? Is it more of like a meditative type of state that you recommend to get into? Is it more self-exploratory where you're spending time by yourself? What do you think's the best way to really start to become more conscious? Like, I know there's tons of books and things of that nature. And if there was something that helped you on your journey, by all means, share with us. I'm trying to see, like, from a lot of the people that I'm interviewing about consciousness, what is it? What was it? What was the trick that got you started?
A little bit of a lot of a lot of that. It was not just one magic trick, you know, it's a journey.
Yeah.
Even my book, I do take you on a journey to do that self-exploration. So I guide you to being able to do that while you're reading the book. But I'm actually in the middle of creating a course now where I'm like putting it together as a step-by-step process. And everything you just mentioned there, that it includes all of that. So nice. Yes. I have a conscious meditation where you can just sit in stillness and let those thoughts come in, where you can be like, oh, hang on. But one of the practices in the course that I have is I literally take you right back to the early moments of that you can remember of your life. And I get you to write every single thing that you remember that has hurt you or caused you pain right from the beginning. And the list might be overwhelmingly crazy, but it's I feel like if you can dig into all that, like there's going to be some of those things you're like, oh, wow, this little thing here or big thing here, I can see how this has now affected me now. But it's bringing that to awareness, and that can be a tough exercise. But yeah, that's one of the exercises I do with my clients where it's like, let's go right to the beginning, everything. And like, it is overwhelming when you see this big long list that is, but at the same time, you've got to get rid of that clutter, get rid of that gunk and pull it up to awareness. So that way you can start understanding where things are being stemmed from. So once you find that root problem, you can now start working on that, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, that's incredible. I think for a lot of people that might seem a little scary, like, oh my
right?
God, I'm going to dive into every single thing that's happened to me. And I've done this before in my past to try to work on some of my blocks. And I will say that it's incredible because you don't realize truly how many little tiny things that your well-intentioned parents, relatives, you know, people, friends, even at a young child age, kids can say some things that are kind of hurtful. Yeah. You don't realize, right? But you're like, whoa, how did all of this contribute to where I'm at today? It's crazy to kind of put the pieces together. So when someone does that kind of work and they're uncovering all of this, how do they go about mending each and every one of those things? What's the journey on that? What do you start working on next?
Yeah, when we go something heavy, I try to balance it out. So the next stage, we're now doing something a bit more loving and, you know, like you can't just like throw you in the deep end and keep you there. But it's just to bring that to enlightenment and then turn that enlightenment to empowerment. And then now, again, everything is how you look at it. Is a glass half full or empty? Like I said earlier, things will happen in life. How do you want to look at it? Are you going to let the pain define you, or are you going to use this as that stepping stone to build your strength? So again, it goes back to that. Like these things are already done. You can't change it.
Right.
But you're here now willing to write that list because you want to change you now for the better. So let's look at that and how that affected you. And now let's look at how that is affecting you and what you're doing now subconsciously because of those things that have happened. And now let's look at solutions. How can you best be aware, and how do we move forward from there? What do you suggest you do? And again, there'll be a list where bringing those behaviors that are mainly self-destructive and highlighting them, and then doing a chart of, let's say, what do we do now? Like, what is a better way to look at this situation? Same truth, but different perspective. And start turning that pain into, yeah, the hurt into happy, right? Into pain, into something more constructive. The same situation, because the thing is, the situations happen, and at every given moment, it depends on how you look at things. That's the game changer.
Perspective is everything. It truly is. And I like how you mentioned it in terms of perspective versus, you know, we're going to go into all this positivity, because I think the positivity stuff, people are like, kill me now. But perspective, changing perspective can be so, so incredible. Now, I have a question for you in terms of some of the clients you've worked with. Have you ever worked with anyone that was struggling with chronic pain? Or even a chronic illness perspective.
Yes, I have. And again, my belief is, we're holding pain. It's everything is energy. And that's blocks that we're causing. Again, going back to your childhood, it's pain that you've suppressed, which now creates as an actual physical pain. We can create diseases. We can create pain. I honestly believe that. And also we can heal that with our mind. Again, perspective. Mm-hmm. And even like my father, living proof, he had leukemia and he doesn't even know what the law of attraction is. And without even knowing what the law of attraction is, he used the power of his mind to overcome leukemia.
Wow. Wow.
Like, I honestly believe, I'm not a doctor like yourself. I'm not, but I've heard stories, and I've, like with my father, seen stories myself. The power of the mind is so powerful. We can create diseases and pain. The chronic pain is there because there's something else emotionally that has caused that you've blocked, and it's just blocked and turned into a physical form of pain wherever that is in your body.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. And that's why I love acupuncture so much, because it can kind of help that bridge between becoming conscious, changing your perspective, and helping your body through the blockages as you're moving forward in your journey. So I have a lot of folks that ask me, how long does it take to change your perspective? And you've already alluded to this in terms of it's a journey, you know, it's a lifetime, right? Because we're not going to have it where every single thought process that comes up is always going to be sunshine and roses.
No, definitely. And it is a journey. When you find you dig up things and then you're like, hang on, there's more. Oh, my God, there's more. Oh, my God, I thought I was over that. There's still more. Oh, wow. But that's, again, bringing it back to consciousness, right? We're human. We're always going to be evolving and things are always going to happen to us. But when you start on that journey and you can come to that point of being able to look at things from a different perspective, which is more empowering than belittling yourself, right? You can now, moving forward, when these things do happen, be step back, take a deep breath, consciously look at it as in, or even when you're feeling triggered, oh, hang on, this is a trigger, I'm feeling triggered. Okay, why am I feeling triggered? And stop and breathe and like, rather than just react or retreat, or do you know what I mean? Like, even doing the silent mode is not very healthy, you know, doing the silent treatment to someone. But being more conscious, and that in turn will help you move forward. So that journey does become easier because you start not taking things so personally. You start being more aware of yourself and your actions. And when you start doing that, you start becoming more enlightened and aware of someone else's actions. And it's not such a personal thing. You understand we're all adults walking around as wounded children, you know?
True. It's true. Because becoming more conscious with yourself, like you said, you learn more about other people and realize how you can work, you know, to help them, but also protect yourself in the same manner, to not dive into or feed off of any of what they maybe haven't dealt with yet and things of that nature.
Definitely. Like, you stop taking things so personally, and in turn, it's not about you. You realize that's about them and their problem and their issue. And it's not your job to save them. Your job is to save yourself and help yourself. And it's their job to do that, because no one else can do that for you. That's your own inner work, and that's their own inner work. But again, with the relationships, if you want to be able to turn that toxic relationship to a healthy relationship, which can be done, it takes two people to become enlightened, to become conscious, to be aware that they're projecting their traumas and issues onto each other, and learn how to work together rather than just two people projecting, because then that's just a disaster, right?
For implosion or explosion, one way or the other. Yeah. So do you recommend then couples get together and read your book together? Your book, of course, I Deserve Better. They're going to sit down. I mean, have you had some folks do that? Because I'm thinking to myself, ooh, this could be a really great way to get folks to start working together.
I've actually not thought of that, but that's actually a really, really great idea. Like, I've had even men like read my book. Like, it's not like targeted towards women. Like, it is the real and raw truth. It is cold and hard. Like, but at the same time, there's a gentle, I do take you on a spiritual journey. Like, I'm not there to just slap you in the face and call you out. Like, it's coming from a place of love. Like, the point is, it's not going to feel good when I'm not calling you out. I just ask you the questions and I make you think. Mm-hmm. So if you're getting called out and you're getting triggered, that's you. Mm-hmm. There's something that you need to work with. And I just take you on that journey and guide you to that. And then by the time you finish it, actually the feedback I've had, like, they say it's eye-opening, they're getting called out, it's kind of triggering, it's kind of uncomfortable, and then they always feel empowered at the end. And with like a lot of insight, like, wow, like, oh my God, like, right. And so that was the purpose of it. But I had never actually thought of, because I've had men come back and tell me like their perspective and how they took the book. And I've had women do that. But I actually think that's a great idea for a couple to do that together, because it does run you through some exercises as well, which I think would be great. So thanks.
Hey, Anytime. No, I'm thinking about how I can incorporate, because every time I interview someone on the podcast, I'm always like, okay, how can I incorporate your resource into what I do and for my patients and for my podcast guests as well? So this is a wonderful topic. And I love the topic of your book in terms of the toxic relationships with yourself and with others. But I Deserve Better is so on point for a title, because I think that's what's on repeat for a lot of people, and thinking, I deserve better, but they just don't know how to get that better.
Yeah, definitely. I love that was what the title is supposed to do. And again, what we were talking about, relationships are everywhere. That the book does cover romantic relationships, but it also covers friendships, family, any colleagues, and it's just taking your power back within yourself. Like, the I Deserve Better is relationships. Ultimately, to get the relationship you deserve, you need to create that relationship with yourself. And then once you start doing that, you'll watch everyone else seems to change around you. Like, I've even done it myself with my own family. Do you know what I mean? Like, after being abandoned, so to say. And like, yeah, like I couldn't be, like, I'm pretty happy with where I am now and the relationships I have around me. And it is because of the relationship I started having with myself. You can't change people, but when you change yourself, everything around you seems to change as well.
Well said. So, Mas, where do we find you online? Where can folks see what you're up to next? Give us the scoop.
My website is www.mazdelasena.com. The new YouTube channel, Phoenix Rising Collective, that's where I share a lot of videos about toxic relationships, law of attraction, personal development, spirituality, all the things I love. Instagram, I'm Lil Miss Maz. And yeah, I have a Facebook page, Maz Delasena. But yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of your wisdom with us. I can't wait to get your book and start handing it out.
Thank you so much for having me. I love this chat. It was a pleasure.
Hey, Health Junkies, I hope you enjoyed my podcast. If you want to continue the conversation based on what topic I'm talking about at any given time on the Health Fix podcast, head over to my Facebook group, Find Your Health Fix. It's where we are talking about what's going on in health, what I'm talking about in the podcast, and I love to answer questions there. So come hang out and join the conversation. And by the way, right now I have a free Manage Your Stress Naturally course that you can grab on my website at drjkrausnd.com, because so many people are stressed out right now, and really it has to do with the basics, your routines and simple habits that are messing you up. So head on over to drjkrausnd.com and go check out my free course on managing stress naturally. All right, folks, have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.